that relationship with Him, that He's in your heart at all times, you're going to miss it. Things are happening that will cause you to miss Him. Because according to the word that I read, Jesus has to be the center of your life and of your heart. And that's when Christianity will really, really work for you. Amen. All of us go through little things that we don't want to go through. But with Jesus, you see, you can get through it. And when you get at the end of it, you have gained faith. That's the important thing. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. And we are going to start there at verse 8. And the Bible says, "Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness." And so there's a way that we walk, and then there's things that we do to obtain spiritual fullness. And all of us are seeking spiritual fullness in this church, to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the first thing that is required of you to become spiritually full, you must be full of love. You must be full of love. Because the Bible shows us that if you are full of love, then you will turn around and reach out for others. You have to have the love in your heart first before you can reach out for others. And it's important for you to know that that's available to you. It doesn't matter what kind of family you came up in, how dysfunctional your family life was. God can teach you to be a good Christian family member. And as you learn to become a Christian family member, then He will begin to turn it around and the light will begin to glow in your own family life, because of the fact that all of us grow up very selfishly. Don't say you didn't. I did. I know you did, right? And so you have to learn to live together, to love each other, to do things for each other. And God teaches you that as you reach out and you touch His heart and you connect into Him as a living God. And that last part of that statement is so very important. You see, Jesus is not somebody that walked around the earth, did a lot of miracles, did a lot of things, taught a lot of people, died on the cross, and resurrected and went to heaven. He's not just that, although that's important to us, because that's what opens the doorway for our salvation. But who Jesus is He's a living God. And it's important to know your living God. I was watching National Geographic the other day, and they had the Hindu temple over in India. And they were in one of these temples that worship rats. Now, most of us women in America, we just don't think that we could ever get to that level of love for that rat, right? Because we run from them. But these rats were crawling all over the children and crawling all over everybody, you know, and they were feeding them and they were eating after them. And I just shook my head and I said, thank God for Jesus. Amen. You see, they believe that those rats are their ancestors who have died and come back, and they're taking care of them. But they also believe that when you die, you become a god, so those rats are their gods. You see, their gods are living, but they have to take care of their god, don't they? Our God is living, and we have to just depend on our God to take care of us. That's what the difference is. And so it's important to love and know the living God because of the fact that if you do, you're going to begin to do the things that you're supposed to do. What are some of these things that we are supposed to do? One of the things that you're supposed to do is to pray for your church, and you need to pray for your church every day. Just as you pray for yourself, just as you pray for your family, you have to pray for the church so that the church can get up and run and race for Christ. It's important because all of us have a territory, all of us have a job, all of us have a position in the army of God. And God wants you standing in the spot that He has placed you. And prayer will change things. What it will do is it'll bring about the spiritual fullness that we all look for and that we all need. It will bring spiritual fullness to this church. And so we cannot just leave the prayer power just for a few people that are willing to do it. It's your church. You have to support it. You know, you have to support it in prayer, and you have to support it in giving, and you have to support it in tithing, and you have to support it in attendance, and you have to support it when you're here making love to Jesus during the praise, after the praise, attendantly as you are, listening to the Word of God, so that you can go out and whip the devil another week. You know, it's possible to whip the devil. I've done it many times. But in order to whip the devil, you have to have wisdom. And so one of your prayer powers is to pray for wisdom filled with knowledge. Wisdom is a gift of God, and knowledge is a gift of God. Wisdom will give you the plan. Knowledge will show you how to bring about that plan, you see. And so part of our prayer power is to pray for understanding of just exactly what God would have each and every one of us to do each day of our lives. Because in order to make your life count, you have to have that understanding. Am I doing what God called me to do? And He becomes that living leader in your life, the one that will direct your pathway in the right way so that it won't be as hard. You know, it's hard for me when I get off the pathway. That's when it gets hard. It's hard for me when I think myself and figure things out, and it never turns out that way. You know, this hurricane, I kept saying, I don't believe it's going to come here. It's got to totally turn around to get here. I mean, down to South Florida from Mexico, Wilma. And Rita kept arguing with me. I didn't take into the account of the west wind. But that's what's happening. The west wind is going to blow it over in our direction. But I'm looking at the map saying that thing has got to go on through and go off to the other coast. No. But it's when I figure it out myself that I'm always wrong. And at least I'm willing to admit every now and then I get wrong, right? I hope you'll do that too at times. And so the Bible shows us in verse 10 there that there is a walk that every believer has to make. There's a run. Paul called it a run. He called it running his course and making the victory. And each of you have to look at life in that way, because you see, it's God's desire to give you the goodness of his kingdom. And it's his desire for you to walk without lack. He's a God without lack. He's the God that sits on his throne and the earth is his footstool. That's a big God, isn't it? I remember Fonnie one day, she came running in. She was a lady that lived with me. And she had seen an angel, and his feet was down to the ground. But his body went way, way up into the sky, and she could only see as high as his waist. That's a big angel. God is bigger. So get a perspective of whom you serve and why you serve him, and then get dependent on him, and he will walk you through. So what is this walk that we're talking about? It's you walking worthy of your call. God is calling each of us for specific things. Your call could be getting your family into the kingdom of God. Do you know that's a call? Spending time interceding and praying for your family. Interceding and praying for your church. That's a call. We call them intercessors. And the devil cannot beat an intercessor, because the intercessor gets close to the Lord, and the next thing you know, that intercessor is praying God's mind, because the Holy Spirit knows things that we don't know. And you begin to pray for your family in areas that you didn't even know that they were walking in. But they need prayer, just like we all need prayer, right? And so the believer's walk is a fruitful walk. It's not just a boring Christianity where you wake up and say, good morning, Jesus, goodbye, and the rest of the day is yours. It's a fruitful walk. You see, God can open up doors for you. If you have a business, God can open up business doors for you. He can make contacts for you. If you are in a business and working for someone else, he can give you favor. He can show you how to do that job better than anybody else has ever done it, effortlessly. And so your God is a God that wants to help you to do good work. And it occurs with spiritual knowledge. You see, it's just like that storm, figuring it out by looking at the map and saying, I just don't see. I never asked God about it. It just didn't look plausible to me, so I didn't believe it. Well, you see, that's the way a lot of us are. We figure things out, and we believe them, and sometimes we believe a lie. And so in life, it's important that we believe the truth, and particularly when it is about our eternal life, and if it's about our everyday life, we have to make good decisions so that we can live better. Amen? And so then we have to be strengthened by the hand of God, powerful, spiritually powerful. That will enable you to be powerful in all of His glory. Now, He's got a lot of glory because He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He has you in His eye. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are the apple of God's eye. So He's conscious of you all the time. We lose it when we lose consciousness of Him, right? And so He's promised us His strength, and He's promised us patience, and He's promised us in these scriptures that we can be joyful. Now, you lose your peace when you get in a state of confusion and when you're trying to figure every little thing out yourself. You lose your peace. You know, when people first get saved, what happens is they say, oh, I'm so much at peace. This is beautiful. This is what I've been seeking all of my life. And it is, you see. But on down the line, as you disconnect with your dependency upon the Lord, then your mind begins to churn and work again, and then you begin to make wrong decisions again, and you lose your peace. Now, you haven't lost Jesus. He's still there. It's just that your dependency has disappeared. And so you're left to your own devices, because if Jesus was trying to speak to you, you couldn't hear Him anyway because you're not listening, right? And so all of us have a spiritual inheritance that God wants us to partake of, that spiritual inheritance that He has for each one of us. And I believe all of us live beneath that spiritual inheritance that God has for us. Now, you have people that sit under these messages where the pastor will teach them how to get things by confessing the word or believing the word and this and that. Do you know that that can be religious? Do you know that it is the truth, but it can be religious if it is received for the wrong motives, if it is received as a ritualism instead of living with the living God, instead of seeing that the Word is powerful, and that as you begin to confess that Scripture over your life, that Jesus is in you, and Jesus gives you the anointing to confess that Scripture, but He at the same time gives you the anointing to believe it, you see. And it's through your faith, and it's through the power of the Word, and it's through the anointing of Jesus that that's going to come to pass. Because Ephesians 1, chapter 1 says He gives power to us word, to you and me, from His throne who believe. Now, He's sitting on the throne. He has all power. The whole universe bows at His word. He speaks, the angels move. He speaks, the sea becomes still. He speaks, the leper is healed. You see, it hasn't changed. He is still powerful. That same individual that literally just spoke and all of a sudden the earth came together in a sphere and He hung it on nothing. That's who you're serving. So as you begin to walk with the living Christ, and you begin to implant the Word in your mind and in your heart, and as you begin to walk with Him, He delivers you from the powers of darkness. He delivers you from the old you into this new you, so that you can become a person of strength, power, and faith. And it's important for you to understand that when you become that new personality, that old personality just passes away. You won't need drugs anymore. You won't need alcohol anymore. You won't need all of these crutches that you have to have now, because he will give you the anointing and the power to overcome, and it's so much better without it. You know, you can have so much more without it. I know people that they end up losing everything. Did you ever see that ad on television where cocaine is talking to someone and that cocaine spirit says, "Will you give up everything for me?" And the person says, "Yes, I'll give up everything." "Will you give up your family?" "Yes, I'll give it up." "Will you die for me?" "Yes, I'll die for you." You see, how can you give cocaine and drugs more than you give Christ? Because he's saying the same thing. Will you give it all up for me? Will you walk with me? And if you can take your heart, connect it with his heart, and say, "With your help, I will and shall do it." You see, all of these things that the devil has taken from you over the years, the Bible tells us that our God can restore everything that the chancre worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm has destroyed. And you know, those particular little insects, they work and they do a quick work, but their destructive forces last for years, you see. And in order to get back what they've done, you need a powerful God so that you can spring back quickly, so that he can take what they have stolen from you and put some new leaves on your trunk and your tree. Grow deeper roots down into the ground so that you can become stabilized. He's able to do all of these things and more than you can ever think of. You see? Amen. You see, some of us have lost everything. Some of us, we have a hard time believing that he can do this. But if you look at verse 13 there in chapter 1, Colossians, it says, "Who hath redeemed us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So this is an exact movement of you from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is a movement of you from the kingdom of Satan's dominion over your life, pushing you, driving you, commanding you, making you. What? Yeah, you think you're doing all of these things because you want to. No, you're being driven. And you see, when you're driven, you have no control over these things. You just run and you do them again. And you say, "Well, I fell again, but tomorrow never comes." You see, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So today is the day that God wants to redeem you from your past. Today is the day that through his blood, he wants to take you and wash you clean and make you every bit whole so that Jesus can become the divine source of your kingdom instead of the devil just controlling you. You see, the devil uses the flesh to control you, but Jesus uses the word and your spirit, your knowledge of the spirit, and your dependency upon His Spirit to control you. And, of course, Jesus is divine in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, you might not be able to see Him, but you know His reality, particularly if you have asked Him to be your personal Savior. When you do that, immediately you know that God is there and Jesus is God. Now, once you know that He's God, then you have to give Him divine preeminence of your life. Divine preeminence. That means He becomes the forefront of your life. He becomes the personality in your life that you want to please. It's like when you get married, you want to please your husband, hopefully. Husbands want to please their wives, and you just bend over backwards. You call them when you're supposed to. You come home when you're supposed to. You do what you're supposed to. Same thing. Jesus becomes your husband man, and you have to include Him as a walking, living Savior in your heart, and He's there all the time. If we could become conscious that Jesus is in our heart, we would have better lives because of the fact you know He's there. There are people that wouldn't dare walk into the church and light a cigarette up, right? Because this is the house of God. You are the house of God, right? And so you become aware that Jesus is there all the time. And day by day, you say, Jesus, help me. Help me today. Help me overcome this. Help me to overcome that. Help me, God. I need to get my wife back. You're separated. I need to get my job in order so that I can function again. Whatever the situation is, He can help you day by day to come up a little higher than you were the day before. And that's having a relationship with your God. It's not a God like those rats that you have to feed. It's a God that can feed you. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And so in verse 16 it says, for by Him were all things created in heaven that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So, all things were created by Him and for Him. And in verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's an eternal Christ. All things are glued together by Jesus. The atoms, everything in the universe is made of an atom. Guess who holds the atoms together? Jesus. He glues them together with His presence and with His Word. And so He is before all things in the heaven, the earth, and the sea. He is more powerful than all those things in the heaven, the earth, and the sea. There's nothing that walks on the face of this earth, whether you can see them or whether you cannot see them, that is more powerful than your God. And Jesus is calling you to this knowledge so that you can have the living God living in your heart, knowing that He belongs to you and you belong to Him. And He will work all things out for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Jesus Christ loves you. And you know we love you too. Give us a call over at the ministry. Give us a call. Come and see us. We want to see you. So many of you have called me. And by the way, you can reach us on the internet. And if you're at home and you don't have a radio, you can reach us on the World Wide Web also. Call riverradio.org. Come and visit with us because we are interested in you. Amen. I hope that helped you. It's again...